Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, happy to be joining you as the Bills are now 3-0 following last Thursday's 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins at Highmark Stadium tonight. Or this weekend, they take on the New Orleans Saints as they come to town. 1 o'clock kickoff from Highmark Stadium. It's a battle of the O's in this one here, Alex. Bills come in at 3-0. The Saints come in at 0-3. Before we get too much into the Saints matchup here, let's talk a little bit about last week. It was a close game, and honestly, I was kind of feeling that it would be a divisional poll, a team that, you know, really gears up for your heart, a team that you face twice a year. I'm not shocked. But I'm not shocked that the Bills went and found a way to win. They got a roughing the kicker penalty late on their punter. And then they subsequently go down and score. And then a clutch interception down the stretch. Dean Walker getting the face of Tua, forcing the bad pass to Terrell Bernard, who picked it off. And they add three more points on the board to win by 10. So they didn't quite cover the 12.5-point spread in this one, but still, I thought a solid win on a Thursday night against a tough divisional team, even if they are 0-3 at this point.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the thing is, I was never scared one time during that whole game. There was no moment of nerves, no moments of anything.
Agreed.
Like, I knew they had it. Like, the entire time, I was like, yeah, they're gonna figure it out. They're gonna figure it out. My partner got there. They were like, "Are you nervous?" And I was like, "No. Why? Like, it's a close game. I'm like, yeah, no. The Bills are gonna win. Like, that's who they are this year. Is they're just gonna handle business. They're gonna take care of the opponents that they should. And to be honest with you, it feels a little bit like I think the Bills are just gonna come in against the Saints and just do what they did against the Texans with Davis Mills a few years ago. They're gonna make Spencer Rattler uncomfortable. They're not gonna put him in a situation where he can be successful, and they're just gonna make him make bad decisions.
Yep, and that's what like you said, when it came to down the stretch, there is a force Tua to make a bad decision. I thought he played a decent game. You know, it wasn't anything flashy, and honestly, we didn't see any major flash plays, I think, from either quarterback in this game. It was a tight game start to finish here, but I mean, ultimately, I feel like the better team went out and won the game here in the Buffalo Bills. Overall, I thought it was a good win for the Bills, and you know, these are the games that matter here, especially within the division, especially within the conference. When you are coming to push and shove down the stretch of the season, These games can come back to haunt you if you lose a game like this. And like you said, Alex, this game never felt in doubt at any point.
No, and I mean, now if you look at the standings of the AFC, or at the AFC in general, it's kind of crazy. The Bills are 3-0. The Ravens are 1-2. The Chiefs are 1-2. To be honest with you, it kind of feels like a topsy-turvy, right? It's early in the season, but the Bills are 3-0. Bengals and Steelers are at 2-1. Colts are 3-0, which who would have predicted that?
Right.
Jaguars are 2-1. The Chargers are 3-0, and the rest of the AFC West is at 1-2. So it's looking like one of those years where if a team gets out to an early lead and can hold that lead, they are going to be in a really good position.
Yeah. And yep, I can't agree with you more here. Especially how it is, at least early on. You know, every game matters at this point. I don't want to get too far ahead. Patriots coming up next week. But there's, I think, a lot of talk and a lot of buzz coming in. Let's face it, Boston, one of the larger media markets in the country. And this is a, I would say, an instant gratification type of society that we live in, that we're ready to anoint and give it to the next man ASAP. They're ready to poo-poo Josh Allen. His first year always inaccurate, this and that. They developed a guy, and he became who he is, the 2024 MVP, one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL at this point. And I feel like Drake May, I think he showed a lot of flashes, a lot of promise, but everyone was ready to anoint him coming in the year two. And I can't completely fault him, especially when you turn over the ball as many times as they did in the red zone against the Steelers last weekend. I know he threw a pick in the end zone in that game. But I'm not feeling it right now early about Drake May, and they have a tougher schedule, I think, than the Bills as the season progresses. Right now, easier for New England, but I think it is going to get harder, and that's what I'm interested in, is can Drake May really stand up here at this point? I think he's still early. He still has a lot of career. He has a lot of season right now, but I'm not ready to go out and anoint a guy like Drake May at this point.
No, and I'll be honest, it's just looking around, it's not like these teams aren't losing close, tough games. I mean, the Ravens are fine. They are who they are, right? They're a very talented team. They're just playing, you know, the same thing the Bills have played the past few years, which is when you're one of the best teams in the NFL, you get the toughest schedule. You play all the best people from opposing conferences, and last year that was the Lions, and the Lions look like they've kind of rebounded a little bit after maybe a almost Bills-like start to week one. You know, it felt like for years.
Like that Steelers game back in 21, it felt like a little bit,
where it's like, you know what, they come out, and don't get me wrong, the Packers are really good, but then the Packers lose to Joe Flacco with the Browns. So it's like, I don't know, man, it's just weird. And the NFL's funny like that. Teams can get hot, teams can get cold, it really all depends. The Bills, however, bringing it back to the Bills, the Bills look so workmanlike, like the inevitability of it. The moment was never too big for the Bills. It always felt inevitable. Now, I think one thing they really do miss Ed Oliver. I think Ed Oliver not being in the game really hurt them because they were missing that rush up the middle. But you know what? The defense made plays when they needed them to. And Terrell Bernard making a really good read on a play that he'd seen on film really stands out as something that, you know, the Dolphins ran a similar play a few weeks ago, and Terrell Bernard very clearly was like, okay, if I see this look, this is where they're going with it. And just took that ball, got down, was like, thank you, we're headed out, good night.
And right now, looking at the injury report going into this week four matchup here, it looks doubtful right now for Matt Milano and Ed Oliver in this game. I think they definitely missed them both, especially like you said, Ed Oliver. Through Thursday practice, neither of them has practiced. And I hate to say it, but it could be partially based on the competition that maybe they're going to try to get these guys fresh and ready for a week five Sunday night matchup against New England. But right now, it looks doubtful for Matt Milano and Ed Oliver.
And I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with them just taking it easy. It's always okay to play it safe.
For the Bills here, also on the injury report this week, AJ Epenesa has been limited in practice with a pectoral injury. And I don't know if there's too much concern right now, but Spencer Brown with a calf injury has not practiced this week. So curious if he'll be good to go in this one. Chase Lunt, according to the Bills' official depth chart, list behind him right now here. Could we see Chase get the start in this one over Spencer Brown?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. It also could be Ryan Vandermark. I think they like both of them equivalently. I mean, Ryan Vandermark came in against the Chiefs, I believe it was last year, and played an exceptional game. So you know what? I trust the Bills. Aaron Cromer really developed this offensive line group to be, you know, an exceptional group. And you know what? It's if Spencer Brown isn't in, that's big. That hurts, especially going against somebody like Cam Jordan. But at the same time, you know, it is the Bills need those guys to be healthy for the long haul.
Yeah, and I think it took a little while, but we've seen Spencer Brown bring his best, and unfortunately right now, he's banged up, but come down the stretch there, you're going to want that guy healthy. So I think now's the time here when you're playing an 0-3 team like the Saints. Again, I'm not trying to knock the Saints in this game, but this is not a bad idea to rest some of your more veteran players here as the competition stiffens up later in the season. You know, you look at the Bengals coming, granted, probably no Joe Burrow in that game. You got Kansas City, of course, in early November. There's plenty of tough teams on the schedule this year that sometimes you want to just get guys healthy. I know they're coming off extra rest, having been off, since last Friday. But right now at this rate, I think it's probably best to go ahead and try to get healthy.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of those things, Brad, where you gotta let people go at their own pace. And you know what? It is it's better to have them healthy in the playoffs than it is week 5.
Well, this is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find across our social media. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Alex at TWCallahanDHS. Follow me at Bills Bruiser. Follow us at DHS Buffalo on Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House and DraftHouseSports.com. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break as we'll dive a little bit deeper into the New Orleans Saints as we'll speak with Ross Jackson. He's the host of the Locked On Saints Daily Podcast. Coming up on the other side of a break, this is the Buffalo Bills Draft House. This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Icor and Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Icor and Alex Jones, happy to be joining you as we welcome in our guest. He's the host of the Locked On Saints Daily Podcast, joined here by Ross Jackson. Ross, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, of course, man. Thanks so much for the invite. Thanks for having me on.
So, big game here for us here in Western New York as the Saints come to town to take on the Buffalo Bills. A 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. How are the Saints fans feeling this season? What were expectations coming in after Sean Payton leaves a couple of years ago, Dennis Allen gets fired, and then you have Kellen Moore fresh off a Super Bowl winning season as the OC of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, I think for a lot people, the expectation was that this was going to be a rebuild for New Orleans. And so the expectations weren't super high in terms of what their final record would look like or even what they would be able to do in individual games. I think the biggest thing for a lot of the expectations around them would be that they would kind of lean in on this rebuild a little bit, even if not vocally, certainly through their actions. And I think we've seen that so far from New Orleans. They're not a hyper competitive team, but they're a scrappy kind of all of a sudden young team, one that kind of got young against its own will because of the retirements of players like Derek Carr, and Tyrann Mathieu, for instance, over on the defensive side. And so it's a young, scrappy, kind of, you know, growing team that now gets an opportunity to measure itself up against one of the NFL elite with the Buffalo Bills to kind of see where they are and maybe a little bit of a reality check for them to follow up with the reality check that they had last week up against the Seattle Seahawks. And so I think for a lot of people, this is really just about doing something different than what the Saints have done in the past, which is trying to retain as much of that Sean Payton lineage as possible. And so I think a lot of Saints fans in particular are just happy to see them choose a new direction here as they rebuild.
It's been a couple of years since they last met on Thanksgiving Day back, I believe, in 2021. And one of the familiar faces still on the roster here is Alvin Kamara. How much are they going to lean on him come Sunday against the Bills?
Yeah, I imagine quite a bit. Look, Alvin's had a really strong start to the season so far, despite the fact that the Saints haven't run the football often. Young quarterback Spencer Rattler in his second year has thrown 4 passes in the first game, 34 passes in the second, and then 36, I believe, or 39, rather, in the third. And so it's been an average of nearly 40 passes per game for this team because they've been playing sort of like in holes and from behind on the scoreboard. And so even though that has happened, though, Alvin Kamara has created a lot of opportunities for himself. He has gone out there and been able to run and gain yardage. He's on track for a 1,000-yard season so far. And so a 1,000-yard total season so far. And so, like, this is, kind of what Alvin Kamara does. I think he'll be a big part of what it is that the Saints are going to try to do in the beginning of the game against Buffalo. Obviously, if the score starts to get out of hand, then they'll have to end up turning to the run game, to the passing game. But, one of the very rare vulnerabilities on this Buffalo team is the run defense right now. And so I expect the Saints, who should have all 5 starting offensive linemen for the first time this season, to probably try to lean on that run game early, at least within the first couple of possessions. And if that ends up carrying them to keeping their playbook open a little bit, then I would expect them to maybe take some more risks and be a bit more aggressive all over the field in sort of these mixed run or mixed down opportunities. So I don't think by any means Alvin Kamara is going to help to turn the Saints into a team that could potentially upset the Buffalo Bills. But I do think that he's a big key to them showing that they can compete with some of the NFL's best.
Joined here by Ross Jackson. He's the host of Locked On Saints, their daily Saints podcast down there in New Orleans. Now, interesting quarterback competition that took place over the course of the summer here. Obviously, Spencer Rattler wins the job, but you have Shock coming in here as the rookie. What are expectations? What can we expect to see, especially if Buffalo can contain the run game and they have to throw the rock?
Yeah, I think you're looking at the Saints to do what it is that they've done all season, and that's get the ball out of Spencer Rattler's hands quickly. Out of the 30 quarterbacks that have taken at least 50 passing attempts so far this season, he's got the second fastest trigger so far, 2.49 seconds. So he gets the ball out quickly, kind of reminiscent of Tua Tagovailoa, who, of course, the Bills just played on Thursday Night Football. The lack of pass rush in that game allowed Tua to kind of hold on to the football a little bit longer. I don't expect that to repeat here against the New Orleans Saints. And so I expect to see the ball get out of Spencer Rattler's hands quickly. But I also expect them to continue to take their shots deep down the field. Spencer Rattler's got 13 attempts of 20-plus yards. It's one of the top in the NFL. He's got 6 over 25 yards downfield in terms of air yards. And so even though he's getting the ball out quick, they're still trying to take those shots. They just haven't been able to connect. They've only connected on one of those 6 of 25-plus so far this year. And so I think it'll be a nice blend of what it is that the Saints have continuously done here, but the production is going to come down to whether or not they can execute on the field. And so that's going to be a big part of it. They got a lot of speed at the wide receiver position with guys like Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. So try to take advantage of that. But overall, I think Kellen Moore offenses are all about timing. I think you'll continue to see that here in this game.
How about on the defensive side of the football? What can we expect to see out of the Saints? The Bills obviously diverse in their passing game. It's an everybody-eats mentality. They don't have a guy like Stephon Diggs. They're spreading the rock around to the wide receivers. Obviously, tight ends involved, and then you have a guy who can really gash it down the field in James Cook here. What can we expect defensively out of the Saints?
Yeah, the Saints are really comfortable in base defenses for defensive backs in particular. That's something that Brandon Staley spoke to us about on Thursday when we talked to him after practice. And one of the things that he feels really comfortable with that. And so that has been something that, a tight end heavy team like the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks have utilized and have kind of brought that out in New Orleans, San Francisco, a running back heavy team, same thing. And now going up against Buffalo, a running back and tight end heavy team, I think that they'll be pretty comfortable operating in that. They played over 90% of their snaps last week in zone coverage, which Josh Allen just eats up so far this year. And really, all told, he's completing, I think it's over 74% of his passes he's completing against zone coverage, and so and averaging more than 7 yards per attempt, and so you don't want to give up too much to them in terms of the space that you can give up in zone coverage. So I would expect New Orleans to maybe find some opportunities to play a little bit more man defense. They still have man cover corners that love to be physical on the perimeter, and so I think that they'll probably lean a little bit more into that than we have seen over the course of the past couple of weeks. But that's as long as the game's in reach. If things start to get out of hand, then obviously you're going to shift to probably a little bit more zone coverage. But as we know, all zone coverage turns into man coverage eventually. So if they're able to stick and keep these guys, you know, kind of keep a top over the top of the defense, or excuse me, the offense as best as possible, then they might be able to kind of convert things into man coverage and look for some opportunities there.
Ross Jackson is our guest. He's the host of Locked On Saints, the daily Saints podcast, as they get set to take on the Buffalo Bills coming up 1 o'clock from Highmark Stadium here in Orchard Park. Now, if the Saints were able to come in here and get the upset, get a win, their first win of the season, what kind of statement, what kind of signals would that send across the Black and Gold Nation down there in New Orleans?
I mean, that's the Super Bowl for them, my guy. Like, that would be a huge moment for them. That is one of those, that would be one of those cornerstone wins that would kind of carry them through the rest of the season. Like, if they managed to go in there and topple a 3-0 Buffalo Bills team that is, you know, scored more than 30 points each week and has looked phenomenal and, you know, has a 13-game home win streak going, and I think has won the turnover battle, what, 25 straight games or something crazy like that? Like, that would be an insane and incredible victory for New Orleans and an incredible moment for Kellen Moore and Brandon Staley on the offensive and defensive side, especially coming off of an absolute shellacking over in Seattle. And so I think, you know, being able to do that would be a huge statement for them and probably a wave they'd be able to ride for the rest of the season. Not that those guys are going to be in any kind of trouble by season's end, no matter how this year goes, but certainly that would be that momentum moment that they would be able to continuously anchor to and say, remember when we did, remember when we did, remember what we did, and, you know, continue to try to build off of that. So it would be a really meaningful one. It's not expected, but if it were to happen, it would be a pretty momentous moment for New Orleans here early on in the season.
Now, Ross, are you making the trip up to Western New York, or are you going to be covering the game back in Louisiana?
Yeah, no, I'll be up there.
All right. Well, if you do need any recommendations on places for wings or anything like that, please hit me up. Plenty of places I can steer you around Western New York. If you have time, you have cash, Saturday night, go to the 9-11 Tavern in South Buffalo on Tiff Street, and it's actually 9-11 Bloomfield Avenue.
Okay, awesome. I'll absolutely add that to the list. And yeah, dude, you got my number. Send me over any direction you want to. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Safe travels getting up here. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you, my guy. You take care. Stay safe. Appreciate you very much for having me on.
And that was Ross Jackson. He is the host of the Locked On Saints podcast, the Saints Daily podcast down there in Louisiana. Taking a time out. Our coverage continues of Bills Saints right here on the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to
first drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said,
if it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's go, Buffalo! Let's go, Buffalo!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
And welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones as the Buffalo Bills get set to take on the New Orleans Saints. So 1 o'clock kickoff coming up from Highmark Stadium. We just heard from Ross Jackson. He covers the Saints on the Locked On Saints Daily Podcast. Find him on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. All right, what do you make of the Saints here? I mean, obviously, from a talent standpoint, you can't talk about the New Orleans Saints without talking about Alvin Kamara. You know, they're a consistent 1,000-yard rush leader. Just to what Ross said in our interview, I really think that the New Orleans offensive attack is going to come down to them trying to run the football, and they're going to use Kamara as a workhorse in this one.
Oh, for sure, Brad. To be honest with you, I feel like it's all going to come down to that, right? If the Saints can get him going on the ground, then they are going to be able to really make this more of a ball game than it probably should be. And if the Bills are able to stop Kamara, I don't think there's a way they win this game if they aren't.
Let's go through the injury report for the New Orleans Saints in this one right now. Looking doubtful is offensive tackle Dylan Reduns. He has not practiced this week with a toe injury, along with defensive end Chase Young, who, I mean, he's been banged up throughout his duration in the league. Right now, it looks like promising for offensive tackle Talese Fauga, who's been battling a knee back injury. He was a full participant today. Trey Palmer, Devon Vell, Cameron Jordan, we talked about there, and Trevor Penning, all full participants today. Actually, no, Palmer and Vell were limited at the receiving core, but everyone else full participant today, so not super baked up. It'd be nice to have Chase Young and really get a good pass rush there on Josh Allen in this one, but I think ultimately Cameron Jordan, the former Miami Dolphin, a team who's faced the Buffalo Bills multiple times here, he's going to be key here for the New Orleans Saints defense.
Yeah, I think so too, Brad. It's Cam Jordan, and I don't. Can you name another guy who's on that defensive unit besides him? I know Tyrann Mathieu retired in the offseason. I'm trying to think genuinely of a name that comes out from that New Orleans team.
From the top of my head.
Granderson. Carl Granderson.
Okay.
The only reason I remember him is because he has tied. He was at Washington. He was at Washington, or not Washington, Wyoming, when Josh Allen was there, or after Josh Allen was there. But I remember a lot of talk out of the draft at the time was that the Bills might try to pair him up with another Wyoming guy.
Yep, and I remember that talk, but ultimately, I mean, didn't happen. But I don't know. With the Saints defense, I think I'm more worried about their offense. Am I worried about Spencer Rattler? No, absolutely not. Nothing against Spencer Rattler again. But, from an offensive standpoint, I feel like the piece that would come in the most here is Kamara. And is there any concern from you? I know they limited the Jets' rush attack, but I thought the Dolphins ran the ball real well last week against the Bills. And obviously, we saw Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson have their way running the football against the Buffalo Bills. So that's my peaked interest in this one. How tough is the ground attack going to be here for the Saints? Are the Bills up for the task? And not having a guy like Ed Oliver and a guy who can make those open field tackles and is just a heat-seeking missile out there and Matt Milano, I think that stings a little bit. I mean, Miami didn't run like crazy. It was only 130 combined rush yards for the team. Achane led with 62 last week. Gordon, the rookie, came in with 38 in this one. We saw Malik Washington get some garbage time runs. Tua extended a couple plays there. I don't know. Should we be at all scared of Kamara and the Saints' rush attack in this game?
You know, I don't think so, Brad. I mean, to be honest, looking at their offensive line, they've got a real young group who are it's working in, and I just this feels like the Texans game from a few years ago with Davis Mills, where they were like, maybe the Texans make it. No, they came into town. The Bills put a whooping on them. All four quarters wasn't even close, and it was the end of the Davis Mills experiment.
Yes, I'm trying to rack my brain. That's going back just a little bit here. And that'll be an interesting game when the Bills go down to Houston this year, taking on the Texans. But in this game here, like we said, I think the Saints, I mean, their offense goes through Kamara. I don't think a guy like Spencer Rattler, who just won out the quarterback job over, I think Tyler Shuck, who I think has a huge upside and could be a very good player for this team down the road. I don't think there's anyone else that, you know, puts a lot of fear in your eyes in this one.
No, I don't either, Brad. I think what's going to happen is the Bills are going to force them to run the ball. They're going to shut down the run, and then they're going to be like, all right, Spencer Rattler, you beat us. I think the Bills go up scores early, and then I think it's curtains from there. I think this could be an absolute blowout of a game.
All right, so like we said, the Buffalo Bills will take on the New Orleans Saints coming up at 1 o'clock from Highmark Stadium here in Buffalo, New York. You know, I'm going to be at this one, Alex, so I'm going to miss out on my favorite announcing duo here in Andrew Catalan, Charles Davis and Jason McCourty, AJ Ross on the sidelines in this one. Game will be televised on CBS, but Andrew Catalan, love the work he does. I know he's doing a lot more golf on CBS and love the work that he does on the Bills pregame coverage as well. So bummed that, you know, I won't get to be there back and watch the game after I get home. So I'll look forward to hearing those guys on the broadcast.
They're actually my pairing. It's crucial catch month. The start of crucial catch in the NFL. My dad is a cancer survivor. Wanted to give him and my mom a surprise, and so they're going to the game this weekend.
All right.
Really excited about it.
Well, fantastic. Tell the Joneses, come hit us up. We'll be on Big Tree at 5304 Big Tree, right in between Bills Stadium property. Hope to see them, if not there, but in the stands of Highmark Stadium. So, yeah, please give your folks all the best.
I will.
Any final thoughts here this week, Alex?
Go Bills, baby. I mean, that's it, right? It seems like the Bills have been a bit of a machine lately. And I'll be honest, I think they're just going to keep it rolling.
I feel like there was a lot of hype around this team back to start out 2022. I don't think the roster is as glamorous as it was that season, but I still think that this is a team that really should instill the fear of God in you.
Absolutely, because they're just, everything is so methodical, right? It's almost like, it's like a Jason. Chasing after you. Like, it's not an if, it's a when.
Well said. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us across our social media at drafthousesports.com, at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. Follow us across Twitter. You can follow myself at Bills Bruiser. Follow Alex at TW Callahan DHS. And follow the site here at DHS Buffalo. Thanks to guest Ross Jackson. Follow him on Twitter at Ross Jackson, capital NOLA. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.